Kids, some of the kids are going out. But it is a joy to have the Taylors here. What a joy. And again, it's part of going to Chile, and they've got a lot of training to do, and they've got to learn the language and a lot of things they've got to do. But what I love, they want to go and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. He wants to preach. And I want a preacher taking the good news of Jesus Christ all over the world. And so we wanted Brother Joe to have the opportunity to preach today. And then we'll all stick around, if you can, for a meal afterward, and we'll fellowship with them. But it's a privilege to have them here, and it's a privilege to invite him into this pulpit to preach the Word of God. So, Brother Joe, you come and preach to us.
Thank you very much. Doesn't God love us so much? Doesn't Christ love us to die on the cross for our sins? We're talking about the topic of love today. Turn to Matthew 22. And I'm going to have Mr. Van Hall come up and preach for us. No, I'm just kidding. I was really encouraged by his thoughts on tribulation and trials and his prayer for that as well. Thank you for sharing that. Matthew 22. Now, this is a passage I've understood for a long time. I was saved when I was 9 years old, and so I've been saved for 13 years. I've understood as a kid this passage, and specifically this principle of love. And even though I've known it, it's not necessarily been easy for me to practice this. I knew the golden rule. My mom taught me. I was homeschooled until ninth grade, so she taught me, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But how many of you know that's hard to actually do? That's pretty challenging, to love others or to do unto them as we would have them do unto us. I mentioned that Hallie and I have been married for 9 months, and some of you have been looking at us like we're newlyweds. I don't understand that, because this is the longest we've ever been married. 9 months. So, no, I'm just kidding. I don't presume to know a lot about marriage, but I've noticed one thing in our marriage. I want to share that with you. It's a little bit more embarrassing for me, but I mentioned to you all that Hallie teaches full-time, first grade, and so she's gone all day long. I work part-time. That's Tuesday through Thursday, but then Monday and Friday is my day to email pastors, to travel on the weekend, to make calls and things like that, to study. So I'm at home on Monday, and sometimes this will happen. I'll look around the living room, and I notice my running shoes over here, my study material, my laptop, some random things laying around the living room. I start to think, wow, I hope Hallie comes home soon and starts to pick all this junk up, because it's a mess. It's spread all over the place. Or I see the sink is full of dishes. I think, I hope she comes home soon and finishes up these dishes, because I'm going to run out of room to put all my dishes from lunch. Now, how many of you husbands know that when you start thinking about these things you'd like your wife to do, God's given you that opportunity to do that very thing for your wife. I'm not good with this. I'm trying to be better with it. But this is the principle of loving others as we love ourselves, isn't it? When we want someone else to do this thing, then we'll do it for them. That's the principle that Jesus teaches here in Matthew 22. It's this principle of love. There's two parts to it, and it's not easy to actually practice it. We can all know this principle of love, but we want to put it to work in our lives. So I was trying to think of a good way to illustrate this. I thought, well, maybe if I use this illustration of a socket wrench. And how many of you have used a socket wrench before? So I've used it one time. I thought, this would be a great illustration. No, I'm just kidding. I've used it a few more times. But I think this is a good way for us to understand the two parts to love. So take a socket wrench. You've got the wrench handle, that shiny chrome handle. And it's got the weight and the leverage. So when you use it, it actually gives you all the strength to work on a bolt, to pull the stop out of your oil pan. And so it gives you all the leverage to use the wrench. But you can't just have that wrench handle. You've got to have the socket as well. You've got to put them both together. And so if you have the socket, then that grips the bolt, doesn't it? It gives you the practical application of it. If you just had the socket, then it would connect to the bolt, but it'd be too slick to twist that bolt. You need more leverage. And so you've got to connect the two. You've got to have the practical grip, but then you've got to have the leverage as well with the wrench handle. And so you've got to have both. And that's the same with this principle of love. You can't just love God. You can't just love others. You've got to have them both. God gives us this principle. Jesus teaches it specifically. And he says, love God and love others. They come together. So loving God is that strength in the Christian life. It's all the leverage. It's the way we fulfill the commandments that he's given us. But then loving others is the practical application of it. It's the way we show our love for God. So let's look at Matthew 22. Jesus has been asked several questions by Pharisees, by Sadducees, and then it comes to Matthew 22, verse 34. He's going to get one more question. It says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together." Verse 35, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Let's pray as we get started with today's message. Lord, thank you so much for this passage. Thank you for this principle of love. I pray that you'd help us not to just understand it today. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand it and then apply it into our lives, to put it to work, to think of specific areas in our lives where we're not loving you or not loving others, and to change that, Lord. I pray that you would work in my heart today. I pray that I wouldn't get in the way of your words in Scripture, but that we'd each be changed by the words you've given us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so we're looking at these two points, love God and love others. And we find love God in verse 37 and 38. Let me read it again. It says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." So he gives us two descriptors. Jesus says it's the first commandment. And this is referring to priority. He's saying it should be the number one thing on our list. If we had a to-do list, and we don't want to think of loving God as a to-do list, but if we did, if we were saying we had a to-do list, loving God would be at the top of the to-do list. Every day we wake up, there should be one thing on our mind. One thing that I need to do today is love God. That's the number one thing. It's the first priority. It's the first thing in our lives. I was studying and I came across an author who said this. I got to find it first. Here it is right here. This quote from an author that I was studying, he said, "The care of your heart should be set upon nothing so much as loving and pleasing of God." So do we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind? Jesus said it's the first commandment. It's the number one thing. This should be the direction of our life. This should be our heart's desire to love God first. Flip to Revelation 2, verse 4. And John is writing to the church of Ephesus. He says in Revelation 2, verse 1, he says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write." So now jump down to verse 2. "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Okay, pause. So the church there is being commended for several good things they're doing. That they've called out these false teachers, these false apostles, and they're having patience. They're bearing evil. And then go to verse 3. Revelation 2, verse 3 says, "And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." So this church is doing good. They're serving the Lord. They're being commended for several good things. But, of course, you know, go to verse 4, and he's got a rebuke for this church. John says, "Nevertheless, I've somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." This church didn't just lose their first love. They left it. God, at one point, was their first love. Jesus Christ, their Savior, was their number one priority, the first thing in their lives, the one they focused on. They would say, "I love God." And now at this point, they had walked away from their first love. They had left it. At one point, he was the number one priority. And now Jesus Christ no longer was. They were still serving in the church, weren't they? They were doing good things. But our motive for working in the church, for reaching the lost, shouldn't be just to do it, or shouldn't be for some exterior reason. Our motive should be our love for God. Remember 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." And so we should love God. We should be serving him out of a heart for God. And this church had left their first love. Flip back to Matthew 22. So they left their first love. And I think that this first love, or this idea of first love, it's characterized by the word devotion. So how many of you have heard people use the word devotion for like daily Bible reading? Did you hear that much growing up? They would say, "Do your devotions." Maybe this is just in the South, I'm not really sure. But I heard this a lot growing up. He said, do your devotions. And my youth pastor meant spend time with God daily. He's referring to a daily commitment in God's word, saying, God, I love you. I'm going to read my Bible right now because I'm committing the day to you. I want to grow to be more like you. And so this time is yours. That's our devotions. It's daily time in God's word. When we think about that word devotion, I thought of a few characters in the Bible who you could describe as being devoted. King David was one of the first ones to come to my mind. He was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? He served the Lord, and yet he's also an example of someone who lapsed in his devotion to his wife. He married Saul's daughter, Michal. And then, not long after that, he married Abigail. And then he married five more women. And then, at the end of all this, he had an affair with Bathsheba. And at this point, he's so far from his first love. He's so far from devotion to his first wife, you couldn't even begin to call him committed. You couldn't say he's devoted. He's got seven other women in his life. He had left his first love. And the church of Ephesus did this with Jesus Christ. And we do this as well. We walk away from our first love. At one point, we say, yes, God, I love you. But then we get to the point where we spend all of our time doing other things. We say, God, I love you. But then we spend our free time watching TV, spending it with family. We let our heart pursue wealth or a career. And all of these things start to take the place of our first love. Jesus Christ is telling us in Matthew 22, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. This is the first commandment. It's the number one priority. And so the question is this our number one priority? Are we putting something else in the place of God? I mentioned in Sunday school that I had done this in high school. God had called me to be a missionary, and then in high school I started to think, no, I want to play basketball. I want to be a professional basketball player. And I'm not tall enough or good enough at basketball to play it, but my heart desired it. I loved basketball, and I replaced my love for God with my love for basketball. I put him underneath. And so this is the question. Are we loving God with all of our heart? Is he first? But then it's not just the first commandment. It's the great commandment. It's weighty. No one claimed it was going to be easy to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. It's a challenge. It takes work. We've got to build up a habit of putting God first and making this a priority in our lives. Matthew Henry commented on loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and he said, it's loving God with all the power of your soul. Or another way to say it is, love God so completely so that everything you do lines up with your love for God. So what do you do that doesn't please God? What is taking you away from your love for God? Because that's the problem. If something comes to your mind and you think, you know what, I love God except for when I do this. Or this one thing is the thing God doesn't want me to continue. This one thing is in my life and it shouldn't be. Then that's the issue. It's that thing that's pulling us away from God. And so whatever it is, whether it's money or whether it's a career, whether it's family, that thing is taking us away from God and it shouldn't. So how do we battle this? This tendency of our hearts to leave our first love, we've got to spend daily time with God in his word. Psalm 1, verse 2, speaking of the man that's blessed, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law doth he meditate day and night. So let's spend daily time with God. Let's spend nightly time with God. Let's be committed to God and his word, because we grow in our love for God when we spend time with him in the Bible and in prayer. And we make him the number one commitment when this is our priority. So let's make that a priority in our lives. Another way that we can love God practically is just remembering how or being thankful for how God loved us. We love him because he first loved us. You remember that? 1 John 4:19? So let's be thankful for that. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Let's be thankful for that as well. But there's one more way to show your love for God. Practically, not just reading the Bible, not just being thankful, but by loving others. Now, let me tell you about my two sisters as we move into this point. And I've got two sisters. There's five of us in the family, five kids. I'm getting really confused. Three brothers, two sisters. I've got a little sister and an older sister. So Cassie is my older sister. She's 3 years older than me. And when I was in ninth grade, she was a senior in high school, and she was busy all the time. But if I was ever awake at 6:30, her light was on. She was sitting in the floor of her bedroom, and she had her Bible out. She was reading God's word. I started to realize that my sister Cassie had a real walk with God that I didn't have. Well, then there's my little sister Holly, and I said Holly. Now, my wife is Hallie. My little sister's Holly. And then my older brother's wife is Allie. So it's Holly, Hallie, Allie. It's pretty confusing. Okay, but my little sister Holly, she's 4 years younger than me, and we did not have a good relationship growing up. We just fought back and forth. There was always this frustration between each other. There was no love for each other. You know why? Because we didn't love God. We were very selfish. And so there was this conflict between Holly and I. But then Cassie loved God, and she spent time with him every morning. Then you start to notice later on in the day that when Holly and I were going at it, we weren't being the best siblings to our older sister Cassie. She was so loving. She showed the love of God. She had the love of God to show, but we didn't. We were very selfish. I started to realize that my sister acts this way because she loves God. I act this way because I don't. I'm not committed to my walk with God. And so my sister gave me the desire to grow in my love for God. And as we love God, then we show that love for God by loving others. Look back at the passage. Matthew 22, verse 39 says, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So there's two groups of people that we show the love of God to. And the first one is showing love to other Christians. And that's something that I think each of us can pretty easily. Galatians 6:10, it says, "As you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith." So doing good is akin to discipling. It's doing intentional spiritual good in someone's life. So we can do good every time we come into church. For Hallie and I, every time we see our families, we can do good. These are other Christians that we can encourage in Christ. We can have an encouraging word. We can pray for them. We can be there for them. I think sometimes that this opportunity that Galatians 6:10 refers to is an opportunity to keep our mouths shut and not gossip about somebody as we're tempted to do. And sometimes we excuse that. We say, "Oh no, this is the conversation that needs to happen." But no, God's given us the opportunity to keep that to ourselves. Or maybe he's given us the opportunity to open our mouths and be an encouragement to others. So let's do good to other Christians. This is a way to show the love of God. But then the second way, or the second group, is unbelievers. And we should be loving unbelievers. John 13:35 says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So Jesus is telling us, this is how the people will know in the world, people will know that you're a Christian. This is how people know that you're a follower of Christ, by your love. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." So let's show the love of Christ to the world. Now, Hallie and I, we have a lot of groups, we have a lot of Christian circles that we find ourselves in. Our families are both Christians. And so we grew up in good Christian families. We go to church and we know lots of Christians there. And now we're traveling all across the country and we're meeting lots of Christians just like you all. We've got lots of Christian friends. And pretty soon we start looking around and we realize we don't know very many unbelievers. It's pretty hard to share the gospel with someone who's lost when you don't know any, do you? So this is a challenge for us. Maybe it's similar for you all. Maybe some of you have no unbelievers that you work with, and you see them every day at work. You have this opportunity to share the gospel each day you go to work. That's amazing. Don't let the opportunity pass you by. But for Hal and I'm going to guess for many of you, you've got to step outside of this circle of Christian influence and Christian friends so that you don't just love and do good to other Christians, but you show the love of Christ to the lost as well. This is necessary. We've got to reach out just like Jesus did in his earthly ministry, just like he did with the woman at the well, when he went specifically to the well to talk with this Samaritan woman, to offer her living water, to offer her the gospel, the love of Christ. So by showing love, we're sharing the gospel. This is the essence of the gospel message. It's a message of love. God sent Jesus Christ because he loved us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And so this is a message of love, and we need to take that message of love to the lost world as well. This is our motivation for planting churches in Chile. there's a purpose behind it. It's not just for a church building. It is for sharing the love of Christ by sharing the gospel that Christ died and rose again to pay for our sins. And so we want to share that love of God. And this is the motivation for you all here to share it in Fremont, for us to share it in Atlanta where we're at now, and then in Santiago where we will be, Lord willing. So let's show love, the love of Christ by loving others, but let's also love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Let's take this principle and make it work in our life. Let's not let the tools get rusty. Sometimes we just take that wrench and we leave it out in the rain. And we know it, we know how to use it, we just don't. It's the same with this principle of love. I can know it really well, but it's hard when I really try to put it to work in my life. So I've got to think about specific ways that God is working on me to put this love to work in my life. And there's lots of ways. There's lots of ways to do that. Remember, I mentioned that if I really love someone as I love myself, then if I really love Hallie as I love myself, then I'll do the dishes for her. Then I'm going to clean up my stuff so that she doesn't have to. And if I love the world as I love myself, then I'm going to take the gospel to them. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I want them to have the same gospel that I've received. I want them to have an eternity with Christ in heaven as well. And so this love for others should be shown in the way that we spread the gospel through the world. Now listen to this article real briefly as we close. It says, our world is changing and not for the better. People are becoming more callous, selfish, violent, and angry. As individuals, families, and society, we're experiencing a breakdown that feels irreversible. Increasingly, we prioritize self, money, and pleasure over God. As we stretch toward what the Bible refers to as the last days, we find ourselves trying to navigate our way through a very unfriendly world. A world of people that the Bible actually describes as growing worse and worse. Well, it sounds like we have a lot of work to do. We need to show the love of Christ to others. Remember, this is Christ's intended way for the gospel to be spread. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So let's show the love of Christ to the world, but let's also grow and develop that love for God with our daily time with him, with our prayer time, with our time reading the Bible. Just like that man in Psalm 1 who's dedicated to God, he delights in the law of the Lord. Let's do that same thing. Let's grow in our walk with God. Remember, you've got to have both sides of this principle of love. You can't just love God. You can't just love others. They've got to go together. They have to go hand in hand. So let's love God, let's love others, and let's take the gospel to those who are lost in our community. Thank you, Pastor Tanis.